Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Disciplines you have to have. That's one religion, and that is faith in human achievement. The other is faith in divine accomplishment. Someone did something at the cross, and I must trust in that. Nothing I can do but believe in that one. What's my list? I have one list, one item. Go to the Lord. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. Sadly, most put their eggs in the first basket. Human accomplishment. What I can do, what I have done, what I must do.
We have a choice when it comes to eternal life. We can try to earn it ourselves through good work and hope that it somehow outweighs the bad we've done. Or we can run to the Savior who died on the cross, taking all our sins on Himself. When we run to Him, we're running for a sure thing, but one thing that is secure for all of eternity. Pastor Troy is going to walk us through the difference between those two options today and share with us all the benefits of choosing to follow the crucified Christ. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 6 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Let me ask you this. Do you have a spiritual hunger today? Do you hunger and thirst after spiritual things? Is there something inside you that causes you to want to know the Lord more? To want to know Him, to be closer to Him? Is there something inside you at all? At the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." So, hunger. Hunger is a sign of health. If you've ever known when individuals get sick, a certain type of sickness, they don't really eat. They're not really all that hungry. So as soon as they start saying, "Man, I'm hungry," you go, "Oh, that's a good sign. That's good. You're getting your health back. You're getting your appetite back." And so hunger is often a sign of health. So the answer to your question about yourself, do I really hunger after the things of God, can be answered very easily. Because most of us would say, of course I'm hungry for the things of God. I'm here. I'm a Christian. I hunger for the things of God. But your hunger might be like mine for a slice of cheesecake. You know, which is, I haven't had a slice of cheesecake in a while, man. I could sure use some cheesecake. But I'm not going anywhere to have cheesecake. I'm going there. I'll get some cheesecake one day. But I have an appetite for it. A hunger for it. That's not the hunger we're talking about. We're talking about, I feel like I'm going to die unless I eat something. You ever been there? I know you have. It's not true. You've never really, really been there usually. But, you know, it's been 2 hours since we ate. And so, I'm going to kill somebody, man. I need to have some food. So we know about hunger driving us, right? And what do? We eat, or we make everyone around us miserable until we eat. So that's the hunger I'm talking about. Although we don't make everyone miserable around us until we get the food, we make everyone miserable around us because we haven't partaken of the food. So here's how you can tell if you really have a hunger. And that is this. Are you reading your Bible and are you praying? You will be driven to these things if you have a hunger for the Lord. Ask anybody who's gone through a storm and a trial. If they hadn't prayed in a while, they will test that line again. They're driven toward it. They're driven toward, "Thank you, Lord," seeking Him. So if reading the Word, getting to know the Word, and taking in the word and prayer are not something you are actively about, you don't have enough hunger. And that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. It's a sign of being unhealthy. So, all you have to do is look at what you're feeding on. You may have an appetite for those things. Well, I do. But the other things that you're doing and you're about, they are a greater appetite. You're hungry for them more. I'm hungry for the promotion, so I'm going to be about these things. I'm hungry for. And so, yes, you could say, I do have an appetite for the things of the Lord. It's just 99th or 100th on the list right now of all of my appetites. So it's not just having the appetite, prioritizing it, having a real healthy appetite. So we said earlier that we shouldn't make our faith about getting physical needs met, right? That it's not the road to a healthy faith. So what is? It's seeking the Lord to know Him because you believe in Him. That should be the primary motivation. You know, God told the children of Israel when they had everything taken away from them and they were being taken into the land of captivity, because that's how low they had to get before they actually got to this hunger. And He said to them, then you will seek me and you will find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, when you really mean it, when you get to that place, Lord, okay, forget the stuff. Forget, give me, give me, give me. What do you want? Who are you? What is my life supposed to be about? So, the road to a healthy faith is to seek the Lord, to seek Him, His ways, His righteousness. In fact, Matthew chapter 6, 31 through 33 says this, Jesus speaking, therefore do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Don't just lay there and go, well, fix me, Lord. Fix the problems. No, no, no. You pursue Him. Lord, what is it? Study Him like you got a college final coming up. Study, because your life changes as a result of what you put into this. Your faith increases supernaturally by what you put into your seeking first Him and His kingdom, His righteousness. Now, the opposite, because we started by saying living for self will be detrimental. Let me read something that says that's living for Him. So let me read something that speaks to the living for self. It's called Recipe for a Miserable Life. And you might want to take some notes. It says this. Recipe for a miserable life. Think about yourself. Talk about yourself. Use the word I as often as possible. Mirror yourself continually in the opinions of others. Listen greedily to what people say about you. Expect to be appreciated. Be suspicious, be jealous, be envious, be sensitive to slights. Never forgive a criticism. Trust nobody but yourself. Insist on consideration and respect. Demand agreement with your own views on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful to you for favor shown to them. Never forget a service you may have rendered to someone. Be on the lookout for a good time for yourself. Shirk your duties, if at all possible. Do as little as possible for other people. Love yourself supremely. Be selfish. I guarantee you that if your worldview, if that's your worldview, you will lead a miserable life. And then he says, but if you seek first the kingdom of God, seek first His righteousness, and place the spiritual life above even the physical needs, not thinking of yourself only, but considering others, God will take care of you in abundant fashion. That is His promise to you, to all of us. We think it's take care of me first, then take care of everyone else. The Lord says, I got you. You do my work towards others. I'll take care of you. If you take care of you, I'll let you. But if you let me use you to minister to others, build them up, I'll take care of you, and I'll do a better job than you would have. So, the recipe for a miserable life versus the recipe for spiritual life. Life to the fullest, Jesus called it. So living for self can be detrimental. And finally, verse 28, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Okay, we get it. Bread, your bread. All right. What shall we do? Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Last thing, believing in Jesus must be foundational. We won't do the things that he says that we should do if we don't believe in him. And believing in him is what causes us to do the things that he wants us to do, to put him first. Here's the flow of the conversation. Jesus is saying, don't focus on the physical as much as on the spiritual. You came for bread, I'm giving you a sermon about the bread of life, which is me. All of their life, for them to mature, to grow, to develop, has been about what they need to do. They were under the law. They were Jews. And so what do we do? What are the do's? What are the don'ts? What do we do? So everything's been about a do. Even the nations around them, if you want to please their gods, it's about what you do. Bring this sacrifice. Do this thing. Do that. And so their question is a natural one. What do we do? So what do we do to be on the spiritual plane? Well, there's nothing you can do. Jesus doesn't make it about a do, but about a who. Who is it? And he says that we should believe in the one the Father has sent. That was Jesus. He's the bread of life. Now, us Westerners, we have a hard time really grasping what Jesus means when he says believe. Believe in him who the Father has sent. We don't really get it completely, because to us it means give intellectual acknowledgement to. Do you believe that Jesus is? Well, I do believe that he is. I believe that he was in Jerusalem. I believe that he's here. I believe there's a God in heaven. I believe that. That's giving intellectual a nod to.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share on the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about Building on the Solid Rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. But there's more to that. See, I believe in Christopher Columbus too. I mean, no one was here. Did he walk the earth? Well, history books tell me that he did. And America's here. It all, I mean, when I examine it all makes sense. And so I believe in Christopher Columbus too. I believe that he existed. But that's not going to transform my life. So just giving intellectual acknowledgement to Jesus is not believing in Jesus. Even Satan believes in Jesus. That's what James said. James said, so will that kind of believing save you? And James was like, no, that won't. Just saying I believe that he was. What the word believe means is much more than that. The word believe means to trust in, to bank your whole destiny and future by placing your life in their hands. Believe in him. You ever had a disagreement with someone about how something should happen and you go, you know what? Okay, let's try it your way. Bad illustration, but it's that kind of believing. It's kind of like, you know what? I'm not going to do it my way. We're going to do it your way. And the Lord even says, with like giving your life over to him, he says, test me in this. Test me. Go ahead and do it that way. Say, okay, we'll do it your way. That's believing. It's putting your life in the future in His hands to do it His way instead of yours. There's no list of works. There's no list of things you must do to be righteous. Because see, then it's just a list you can do one day and not the other. But believing in Him requires that every day you go to Him and go, what today? How do I handle this that's come up today? What do I do here? I believe in you, so I come to you and I ask you for the direction. It's not a list. It's a relationship. I believe. That's believing. And as a result of doing that, you make different decisions. You do different things than you would have done. Those are called works, fruits, the result of, the consequences of trusting in, believing in, seeking the Lord. I would have done it this way, but I did it this way instead. Those are the works that James talks about when he says in James 2:18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So James is talking to those who said, well, I do good things. I do works that are biblical works. I feed the hungry. I do works. See, I'm saved. James is saying, look, doing those works doesn't mean you're saved. Anyone can do those works. Anyone can go out there and feed the hungry. Anyone can go out there. The question is, who are you following? Are you doing it because, well, I just like humanitarian work. I just want to feel better myself by helping others feel better. It's for me, ultimately. And that drives me. So is it all about you still? Or do you believe? And when you believe, then there'll be works. So James says, you show me your faith without works, the works that happen as a result of following Him. I'll show you my faith by how I'm living my life, by my works, by what I do. And what we do is not only activities and actions, but we control and contain our attitude, the words of our mouth. James said, ooh, it's hard to control the tongue. No one can tame the tongue. But the scripture says, here's how you control the tongue. You take control of the thoughts, because here's what the thoughts do. Here's how the ball bounces. The thoughts build up here. They get really big and heavy, so they come down to the heart. Boom. Now they're in our heart. Man, they weigh heavy on us, man. Now I got attitude and everything else, and they bounce. The ball bounces and bleh, comes out on somebody. Whoever it is, because of something happened up here, you know that signal? Something happens up here, it drops down, bounces up, comes out, and then everybody gets to experience that. So God says, look, before the ball bounces, take the thoughts captive. This is for your own good. Then it won't come out the tongue. See, you can't tame the tongue. You cannot let it get here and go, well, I just won't say something. Oh, no, that's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. When it's here, you'll contain yourself. And even when you don't say it, you let them know you wanted to say it. Like, oh, I'm going to be quiet. And they already know what you mean by I'm going to be quiet. The whole statement has just been said. I was going to say this, but I'm not going to say it. Because we can't tame the tongue. So we have to control the thoughts. We strike there first. You don't focus on all the negative things, all the bad stuff going on in your head about somebody else. Sometimes it's not even accurate. Most of the time is probably not. Well, most of the time is not completely accurate. We fabricate a lot of things up in here. We take one little tiny glance and develop a whole whirlwind, storm, divorce, everything else in our heads. And then all of a sudden, what happens? It kind of bounces. They come, they approach, they just say, hey, how are you doing today? Yo, I'll tell you how I'm doing. You looked at me. Like, where did this come from? Well, it came from not having our foundation on the Lord. It came from not taking all the thoughts captive. It came from being me, the sinner, instead of somebody who's grounded, rooted in Christ, taking thoughts captive. So Jesus says, don't focus on the physical things. They will confuse you. They'll drive you on and cause you to make the wrong decisions. But instead, consider the spiritual. There is no list of works. It's about believing in him. You know, let me say something that might baffle you here. There are only two religions in the world. We'll make it really easy. There are two religions in the world, and that's it. I know some of you might say, no, I've Googled it. There's lots of religions out there. There's lots of things. But if you actually summarize and bring it down, there's really two religions in the world. The first is faith in human achievement. Faith in what I can do. You could take every single belief system, no matter the name, and there are ideas in that system about what must be done in order to be righteous and what must be done in order to fit in with the group or whatever it is to go to heaven. Disciplines you have to have. That's one religion, and that is faith in human achievement. The other is faith in divine accomplishment. Someone did something at the cross, and I must trust in that. Nothing I can do but believe in that one. What's my list? I have one list, one item. Go to the Lord. Believe in him. Trust in him. Sadly, most put their eggs in the first basket. Human accomplishment. What I can do, what I have done, what I must do. But there was a man who approached Jesus, a certain ruler. And he approached him in Luke chapter 18, verse 18 and 19. A certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. In other words, you can't be good. There are none who are good, only God. And then Jesus concludes with this. Sell all that you have. Get rid of all the stuff. Get rid of everything. And you follow me. You put your trust in me. You believe in me. That was it. So, guys, if we're going to grow, if we want to grow in our faith, we can't just do right things. We need to do the right things the right way, with the right heart, the right motivations. The ends do not justify the means in God's economy. You cannot do things the wrong way, and as long as you get a good result, call it a victory. That's not it. Remember, the ends are in God's hands. So it's all about the means. So remember these things. Searching for God can be hypocritical. Be a little deceptive. Why we're doing what we do. So come to him because you realize that the eternal things are more important. And that you believe in him. Living for self will be detrimental. It's hazardous to you and everyone around you. I think it's contagious too. Because any couple, one person gets selfish, you know what you're going to cause that other person to do? Become selfish because they got to take care of themselves because you're not. You're not in this together. So they don't think you have their best interest at heart. So selfish breeds more selfish. Don't think it doesn't. Pursue Jesus because you want to follow him. You're going to put him first, not you, him. And then finally, believing in Jesus must be foundational. It's the place from which everything begins. I do what I do because I believe in him. I do what I do because I believe that is he who directed this. And when that happens, everything begins to change in our life.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Needley will teach again in the book of John as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages here on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. Again, our website is buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.